Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Alan Renner here in the studio. Look who's joined us as well.
Look at
Stevie Nicol is here later on in the programme. Jan Olga Fjortoff will be joining us to tell us what on earth went wrong with Borussia Dortmund today. Don will be here as well to give us the latest on the Harry Kane saga. But let's kick things off, shall we, with our feature game in La Liga today. Athletic Bilbao taking on Barcelona. Bilbao, of course, still looking for their first goal of the season. Barca looking to make it back-to-back wins in the post-Messi era. And Braithwaite here.
You should not be playing for Barcelona if that's what you're capable of.
We were so nice to him all week.
Yeah, it just, I mean, everything's wrong. Leaning back. Clearly just thinks all he's got to do is kick it and makes a mess here.
5 minutes in, nice bit of football here, Ali, denied by the crossbar.
Good work down the left-hand side. It's a good initial touch by Sanset on the turn, and then that turn away from the defender creates some space, enough for him to strike it cleanly, just cannot keep it under the bar.
Concern here for Barcelona, Gerard Piqué going up for a challenge. It would take a bit of a knock that would, in fact, force him off the pitch.
You got to think he had a problem before this game started. Just the speed at which he left the field after getting that knock.
Now, Barca thought they'd open the scoring just before the break here. It was a foul there that the referee eventually gave, but it seemed a strange decision.
It was a horrible decision. It's not a foul. Braithwaite actually goes for the ball. Defender doesn't. He heads it back across. Keeper makes a mess of it.
Yep.
And Arroyo puts it in. Should have been a goal. There's no way this is a free kick. Not a chance.
Well, the referee disagrees, and we take it into the second half. Just 15 seconds, in fact, after the break. Iñaki Williams with the opportunity here. And then, what an acrobatic clearance.
Good clearance from Araujo, good cover from Araujo. Defending from Barcelona, and Eric Garcia. And this is a theme for the night. He was second best to just about every challenge.
Yep.
Iñigo Martinez gets in front of him. Nice glancing header to the far post. Marcelino loves it. 1-0.
Yeah, nicely done there. 16 minutes ago, Barca trying to get something going here. Nice little interplay. Off the crossbar.
Well, he was by far Barcelona's best player, De Jong. Just unlucky there. Just trying to lift it over the keeper. In step, just doesn't quite get it underneath the crossbar. Great attempt.
And then, 1 minute later, on the counter-attack, Sergio Roberto plays it into Depay, who hits this very hard.
Yes, he does.
Really?
Off the short hop. Turnover from Dani Garcia. Depay stays on side. Sergio Roberto finds him. Takes a little time to get the ball settled under his feet. But then once he does that, full swing with the left foot. Goalkeeper can't quite get his arms up in time. 1-1.
Late on.
Uh-oh.
Athletic Bilbao looking for that late winner. Outside the box?
Yes. Yeah, no question. Horrible. A horrible day for Garcia.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do a thing.
Everything
right. Everything went wrong.
But
the best decision he made all day was making that free, that foul there.
The foul resulted in nothing, hitting the wall. The full-time whistle will be quickly blown after that. Marcelino's men then with back-to-back draws for Barcelona. Their first drop points of the season as it finishes one apiece at the new San Mamés. For us was Sid Lowe. Sid, first off, of course, fans back in the stadium. An emotional night as well.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, genuinely, I've not heard noise like this for a very long time. There was a real sense of occasion. I think there was a sense of the fans playing a part as well. Obviously, Barcelona fans won't thank me for saying this, but I think from Athletic Club's point of view, a real pity that that couldn't be followed up with a victory, that they were close to it but couldn't get it in the end. But it was definitely pretty special. Look, this is the second week of the season, so we've already had a week when fans are back, but this weekend feels particularly special. It's the first weekend where Atletico Madrid, the champions, will play at home. It's the first weekend as well back here at San Mamés.
Sid, I don't think even the most dedicated Barcelona fan could claim they deserved anything more than a point today.
No, I think that's probably right. I think the reaction was reasonably good late in the second half. And we talked, didn't we, at half-time about whether or not Athletic Club were going to be able to maintain the intensity, maintain that pressure. And bit by bit, it started to drift out of the game. And we saw that in the goal that he conceded, which is a giveaway. And I think it's four Barcelona players in a row are just that close to letting the ball slip away. But all of them just about get to it before Depay produces that absolutely brilliant finish. And in the midst of the madness, in the midst of the kind of frantic nature of this game, Stevie's already mentioned him. I thought De Jong was absolutely superb. It's every touch, every decision, his understanding of the game. And I think bit by bit, he managed to get Barcelona back into the match, probably more than any other player on the pitch.
Inevitably, talk will be of Messi and the downfall of Barcelona and where they go from here. Messi didn't play in defence.
No.
And defensively today, they just look vulnerable every time.
And it's not like Athletic Bilbao was putting together this attacking sequences that you say, my goodness, look at them go. Look at the movement with the ball, without the ball. No, no. These were simple balls over the top where Eric Garcia gets there first. He's in a position to defend, and essentially Iñaki Williams tells him, get out of the way. I'm here. See you later. Take care. Go hit the weight room because you cannot handle my physicality. And it happened time and time and time again. So what you have today for Barcelona, not only do you have Piqué coming off the field, injured, Araujo comes in, okay, no issues there, but you saw Eric Garcia being exposed. Yes, a guy that can pass the ball around. Yes, a guy that can build out of the back. But man, was he getting destroyed. And it was Iñaki Williams early, and then it was Iñigo Martinez for the goal, and then it was Nico Williams when he came off the bench. So anybody with any sort of strength or speed today that was around Eric Garcia was going to get first to the ball. And that, if this is going to be your starting center back, good luck, Barcelona.
It's a real concern, isn't it, going forward for Barca, Stevie?
Well, I think you can't argue defensively. They don't have players that are capable of defending properly. But unfortunately, what makes it worse is they don't have a midfield that it looks capable of stopping anybody getting at the back four. You know, I've been kind of arguing with other guys in our panel about you can't always get a defensive midfielder that's going to stop it all the time. And you have to ask your defenders to defend.
Right.
Well, right now, they've got two problems. One, they can't defend at the back. And two, they've got nobody in the middle of the park that has any clue how to stop the opposition getting at them. So, listen, yes, they've got ability going forward, but defensively, they're an absolute shambles. And there is no way this team is going to win this title. No chance.
When you look at the back four and you put them out there, even with Piqué out there, who's a shutdown defender?
Right.
Who's a guy that you say, you know what, he's going to win most challenges or most 50-50 balls or he's going to win most duels? We don't see that from Barcelona, and we certainly did not see it today from Eric Garcia. So if he is the answer, better keep on searching, because based on today's evidence, when we actually saw a real test, when we saw a team that physically was going to challenge Barcelona and Eric Garcia, man, he failed that test and he wasn't even close.
Last word on this to you, Sid.
Well, I think this is one of the things we've said about Barcelona last year, with all the focus on Messi, but the problems at the other end. I think one of the things as well, when you look at it from a position of defensive midfield, Sergio Busquets, I think, always plays well when he's on the front foot, when the team is stepping into tackles, when this team is pushing everybody forward and that defensive line is quite high and the press is able to be maintained, which I think Barcelona maybe don't have the physicality to do. But when Sergio Busquets is turned back on himself, that's when I think Barcelona have big problems. And obviously, look, Eric Garcia is young enough that perhaps you need to give it time. But you're absolutely right. Tonight, the defensive performance was a team that didn't seem to be able to handle it against the Athletic Club.
One positive for Barcelona, though, and he had bright spots in his debut, didn't he, last weekend, was Memphis Depay getting his first goal in La Liga for the club.
And it's the quality of the goal. In a game in which it seemed like Barcelona was having difficulties creating enough opportunities, this is a tight angle. This is a ball that is bouncing everywhere, and he's able to find the finish. That sort of quality is sort of what separates Memphis Depay from other players, that he's able to bring this sort of productivity. He had a chance late to win it, wasn't able to replicate this sort of finish, but Memphis Depay is not the reason as to why today they did not get a result. Memphis Depay was one of the highlights, if you could find some out there in the field. De Jong was one. Depay was another one. I think this is a player that truly thinks this is where he belongs. Right. And that's the way he's playing. This is my place. This is my club. I'm going to thrive here. I'm going to be successful here. It's a mindset that is going to help him, but he also has the physical attributes to be able to showcase those skills.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Also across, of course, the Bundesliga this season, Freiburg taking on a Borussia Dortmund. A terrible week it proved to be for Dortmund. 6 minutes in, what a goal this is from Grifo.
Yeah, even if you're the opposition, you just got to give them a clap. There's nothing you can do about this. The goalkeeper's in a decent spot. The pace on it, bending away from the keeper, the power on it. It's just a perfect free kick.
Dortmund trying to get back into it. Bellingham with a header here off the post.
He holds off the defenders, a floater ball into the box. Not exactly the most powerful jump. Does enough with a header, but off the post and out.
And then moments later, it really should have been 2-0. What a chance this was for Jong-woo Young.
I know.
That's horrible. Just misjudges the pace of the ball completely.
8 minutes into the second half, Bellingham loses possession, and it's a really good counter-attack in the end from the hosts. Roland Salai making it 2-0.
It is a good counter-attack. It does take a little while to develop, and it allows Dortmund to get behind the ball, but nobody challenges the cross, nobody challenges the knockback, nobody challenges the finish.
It would be an own goal, though. It would give Dortmund a lifeline with 30 minutes to go.
That's a bit harsh. Let's give it to Bellingham.
Well, Bellingham doesn't touch it, Stevie.
No, Stevie.
You can't give it to Bellingham.
I've seen this three times, right?
Right.
You need to see it four times?
And I've got to tell you, the folks haven't seen it, I agree with you.
Erling Haaland with the opportunity to make it 2-2.
Who is this guy? Hey. That's rubbish.
Overrated. What? So then, Borussia Dortmund, two defeats, of course, within 5 days after losing the Super Cup as well. Meanwhile, Bayer Leverkusen taking on a Borussia Mönchengladbach. This is a game that Jan Sommer would quickly want to forget. Just 3 minutes into this one.
Right, you got a feel for him there. There's nothing he can do about it at all. I mean, nothing, zero. It's not his fault.
Okay, more from Mr. Sommer a little later on. Yeah. 5 minutes later, though, Leverkusen will make it 2-0. Nice work from Patrick Schick.
Does well in setting up to his left foot. Finds that far post. Full extension on Jan Sommer. Does get there, gets a touch on it, but not enough to keep it out. Good work down the right-hand side. And a nice classic finish to the far post.
10 minutes into the second half. Slight deflection from Diaby's shot here would make it 3-0.
Oh, no.
Slight? Rather a large deflection, I would suggest.
I mean, what about our boy Jan Sommer?
How's he doing?
There we go.
Oh, no, Jan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's not good.
No. It's a tough day. Catastrophic.
This is Arjun Tuck. He caught up with Patrick Schick after the game.
Patrick Schick, how does this feel for you right now?
After a tough season last year without fans, I'm so happy that finally we can be on the stadium with the people, and we gave them a nice win, so I feel happy for the performance, for the fans, and it's nice to see them back.
Talk to me about your goal today. How did it feel to get that here with these fans and do your celebration as well?
Yeah, it feels amazing. I really enjoyed it. The celebration with the fans was really nice. Unfortunately, I could score another one. But we keep going, and I hope I will score much more goals.
What's the celebration about? Where does it come from?
It came from the Euro. After the goal against Croatia, when I was bleeding from the nose, I celebrated like Nate Diaz from UFC, so it was like that, and I do it now.
A difficult day for Borussia Mönchengladbach. How would you sum it up?
Yeah, exactly like you said it. Difficult. The other team, Leverkusen, they came out strong in the first 15 minutes. We were a little slow. But even after 15 minutes, we still have a whole hour left in the game, hour and a half left in the game for us to come back, but we just couldn't get into the rhythm of the game.
What were the issues out there? It seemed like there were some struggles closing down Leverkusen in key areas of the pitch.
Yeah, we knew they liked to move a lot around, and I mean, it just wasn't our day. I mean, we were off a little bit, but we just need to reflect on this and come back stronger next week.
What did the coach say to the team at halftime?
He just told us to come out like we played last week. Last week, we came out a totally different team. We were there, we were ready for the game, and this week it just didn't see the same, but we need to be ready for next week.
Joe Scally there speaking to Archie Rintel after the match. Jan Olga Fjortoff is with us. Jan, how is your fellow namesake, Jan Sommer, sleeping, do you think, tonight?
Well, in Germany today, at least number one popular Jan in the Gladbach area, because he had a terrible game. It was more or less... He was clearly involved in two of the goals and maybe could have done better also on the Schick goal. But it was, a terrible day for Gladbach. They got four or five players injured again. They missed the penalty and so on and so on. And this first goal is just terrible. Oh. He's just standing there, the poor man. He is the smallest goalkeeper in the Bundesliga, but still one of the best. And you saw him during the Euros, he's a fantastic goalkeeper. And if you see this, on a good day, The game he had, the first game against Bayern Munich, he would have taken that one as well. And then this one as well. Oh. You know, you just feel sorry for him. You feel sorry for him after. But after the game, I saw some interviews with him. And he said, we had a terrible day. He didn't say, I had a terrible day. So the same old goalkeeping philosophy. But Jan Sommer will get back in the game.
Also... Borussia Dortmund had a terrible day, of course, Jan, losing by 2-1. How did this happen?
Well, first of all, a compliment to Freiburg. They defended very deep, which is good because you take some away from the space that Dortmund needs. Then you could say that you saw that in the summarize of the game. Great goals, the free kick goal, a fantastic goal. But still, the wrong players got a goal chance. It's Bellingham. Three chances, and he didn't do well. He wasn't calm enough in front of the goal. Then Haaland missed the chances. Schlottenberg, who was man-marking him, did a good job against him. But it's same again for Dortmund. If the plan A is not working, They don't have a plan B. And this is a new season, but it's the same old problem. And this frustration at the club now, after 7 days ago, there was a big euphoria. Well, they will be the champions. They could be closer to Bayern. Then Bayern comes to Dortmund, chip, 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 and you're gone. And then they go to Freiburg, losing 2-1. So it was a frustrating day for Dortmund. I think the most frustrating thing is that even with the new coach, you still do the same problems. And this is not for the good for the German Bundesliga. We want Dortmund to be closer to Bayern. And now we've learned this week they haven't got any closer.
Yeah, and adding fuel to that frustration as well is that, as you say, it's the same mistakes that we saw last season. And you can't see a quick fix to make it all go away.
Now, and I think, Dan, that Marco Rosa, I like Marco Rosa, but he likes his Raute, which is called in Germany, this diamond. He likes to have a striker of Marlon today. I tried to play it up with Erling Haaland, playing in a partnership up front. In the last game against Bayern, he tried to have Moukoko there. I don't think that is functioning because I think that Haaland needs to be on his own up there, and then you get an extra player in midfield who can serve him more, you know? And they don't have that, and it's easy to say they don't have Sancho, but of course, you miss that kind of thing. But in the first game of the season you saw against Frankfurt, they were excellent, so let's just hope. But I think it's more hope than realistic thing that Dortmund have learned from their mistakes. It didn't seem that way today. But coach Streich, I want to say Christian Streich, has been at Freiburg for 26 years and he still keep on with limited money, keep on winning games like this, doing well from Freiburg. And that is also good to see in these super league, super mega rich times of football clubs around the world.
Jan Olga Fjortoff, thank you very much. Of course, the Bundesliga continues tomorrow. Doubleheader for you. Hoffenheim take on Union Berlin. It's Bayern Munich against Cologne. Those games back-to-back on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's head to the Premier League. Stevie a bit grumpy today because he was up early to watch Liverpool against Burnley.
These 7:30 kickoffs are no good for me.
Great though, Stevie, of course, to see Anfield full.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. It almost seems like it never happened when you turn up this morning and you see it and you hear it.
It made it very special indeed, and the fans had something to cheer about in the 18th minute.
This guy's unbelievable. He's one of those forwards where you say to your wide men, just put it in the box and he'll get on the end of it.
Into the second half, Liverpool would guarantee all 3 points. Nicely worked goal here, Steve.
Yeah, Kid Elliott did well coming from that right-hand side. Lovely little ball round the corner from Alexander-Arnold and a super finish that kind of sealed the victory, in my opinion.
So that finishes Liverpool 2, a Burnley 0. Don Hutchison is with us. Don, job done. Liverpool, no problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a little bit squeaky the first 15 minutes. I must say I thought Burnley started really well and posed one or two problems. But after that, I mean, it was a Liverpool show. I thought Harvey Elliott, who Jason McAteer has been telling me, has had a wonderful pre-season. He had a brilliant game, had a hand in the second goal. Great goal as well. Typical Liverpool from 18 months ago where Virgil van Dijk hit that long diagonal out to the right-hand side. Trent was involved. Mane got his goal. In the end, it looked an easy victory, but the first 15 minutes was a little bit of a sweat on.
Harvey Elliott getting a lot of praise, Stevie.
Yeah, it's one game though.
Okay.
And it is at home against Burnley, which you're supposed to win. And the truth is, as Don said, eventually it looks comfortable. But for an hour, it was pretty tight.
Right.
Because Burnley were causing Liverpool some problems. Alisson had a couple of good saves he had to make in the first half. I've got to tell you, though, Bobby Firmino, for me, has to start. You know, when it's Mane, Jota and Salah...
Jota scored.
No, I know, but if you'd let me finish.
OK, sorry.
All right.
When it's Mane, Jota and Salah, it almost seems like it's a toss of a coin. It's either going to be fantastic or horrible. When Firmino's on the field, there's a certain calmness that he brings to everything as far as attacking's concerned. There seems to be some sort of organisation and some sort of plan when he's in the middle of Mane and Salah. That front three that was there today, I thought it was a bit... It was a bit harem scarum. You
really
weren't quite sure what you were going to get. It was either going to be brilliant or the complete opposite.
So you would say Jota then?
I would, yes.
Do you agree, Don?
It's one of them, Dan, where you can't knock Jota what he does, you know. He gets goals, he gets in the box, he creates chances, he misses some, but he's always in there. But I know where Steve is coming from. With Firmino, you know he's that elegant sort of number nine. I say that loosely because he plays in that position, but he's tidy in possession. You know when the ball's going to his feet, he's going to take care of it. So Mane on one side and Salah on the other side, midfield players can then join because they've got total trust in him. But I find it hard to leave Jota out at the start of 11 the way he started the last two games.
Meanwhile, there are no easy games in the Premier League.
Wait, what?
Never.
Wait.
None.
What? No.
You've got to put in 100%. Teams do not roll over.
Really? Well, kind of.
Usually.
This is some show from Manchester City today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very difficult to talk about Man City because the truth is, Norwich are going to get beat every week.
Is this the opening goal that Jack Grealish dreamt of?
Hey!
Isn't it brilliant?
Absolutely.
Hey!
Spin off the tough, hit me on the knee,
yes,
in the back of the net.
Yep.
Listen, they all count. But, yeah, I mean, Norwich are cannon fodder. It's tough to talk about the actual performance. It's always good to score goals.
Yep.
It's good that Grealish got his goal, costing 100 million. That's the goal of the game.
Sterling off the bench.
Sterling.
But this touch, though, from Mahrez is a bit special, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's 4-0.
All right, sorry, blooming heck.
Wow. You okay, Steve?
If it's 0-0, it carries a little bit more weight.
Well, I still think it's quite a nice touch.
Yeah, but it's like a training ground goal when it's 4-0 to do that.
Dom, we'll discuss the future of the England captain in a moment, but what does this do about that situation, if anything?
I don't think it changes anything, Dan, in all honesty. It was a good game for Man City. They scored 5. They got players off the bench that got minutes. But everyone knows what Man City needs. They need Harry Kane. They can't go into all the competitions, especially the Premier League and the Champions League, and try and expect to play a false nine. Raheem Sterling came off the bench and played as a false nine. I thought Jesus was man of the match today, Dan. I must admit, when I seen the starting 11 come in, I thought he might have played off the left-hand side, but he didn't. He played off the right-hand side, and that was one of his best games. He had a couple of assists, was lively. They played really well. Grealish got his goal. But it was one of them games when you're calling it and you're watching it, and they go 1-0 down after 6 minutes, 2-0 down after 20, Norwich. You think they're naive. And the passage of play that summed it up for me was on 44 minutes when Tim Krul said to his players, there's 1 minute left before half-time. And I thought it was going to go long and accept a 2-0 at half-time and go in and have a debrief. And he played out from the back, played into midfield. They got robbed and Man City nearly scored their third. They have learned absolutely nothing from when they went down and come back up. They're just far too naive. You can't go to Man City and play 4-3-3 and try and give them an open game of football. What do you expect?
Meanwhile, on the subject of Harry Kane, Don, he has travelled with the Spurs team. Of course, they're in action against Wolves on Sunday. How is this situation going to play out?
I think what will happen, Dan, is I think Pep and Man City are probably concentrating on the games ahead, which is Arsenal next week, and then the international breaks. I would imagine they'll put all their energy into that Arsenal game, try and turn them over. And then I would imagine 3 days left to try and sort the Harry Kane deal and try and push it through. I can't believe it's sort of taken this long. The only thing I would say is I think Pep said the other week about everyone going on £100 million for Jack Grealish. Well, he stated that Man City got £40 million in. So what we're hearing over here is Bernardo Silva's not too happy at the football club and he wants to move on. I think he's requested a move. So it might be just a case of Man City trying to maybe sell one or two. Laporte's been linked with one or two clubs as well. So I don't think Man City can just go 150 Harry Kane, 100 Jack Grealish without selling players. So it might need a little bit of manoeuvring for one or two players to go out the door.
You said it was a done deal, though. No.
I believe it is, and I just think it's a matter of time.
Meanwhile,
I still
of course,
believe it'll happen.
The game that catches the eye in England on Sunday, Arsenal taking on Chelsea. Very different starts to the season, of course, for both of these sides. It's a big match, isn't it, for Arsenal? 4-1 to take all 3 points. Don, pressure already mounting on Arteta.
Absolutely, especially because they lost opening weekend of the season against Brentford. That's put them straight under pressure. Then they come into this game and Chelsea are a good side anyway. Then they add Lukaku to the mix. And you just think, I can't see anything other than a Chelsea win. The only thing I would say is when Arsenal were in trouble last season and they were bang in trouble, they played Chelsea and actually beat them. So Arteta needs a result. I don't think they are going to beat him. I think Chelsea are going to be far too strong for him. And Arteta's come out fighting this week in the press over in the UK. He said everyone wants to bury him. He said all the ex-players want to bury him. They want to bury Arsenal. I think he's talking about the Arsenal former players. But it's not the case. It's just we call it how we see it. We think Arsenal are in trouble. We can't see how they're going to get out of this because people like me and Stevie, and I think everyone will probably agree, when you talk about Arsenal, you're still thinking in your mind's eye they're a massive football club. They're huge. But the seasons are going by now where you're starting to think teams like Leicester are starting to overtake Arsenal. And that's a worry for Arsenal fans.
Do you know what? Arteta needs to forget about listening or reading papers or anything. All he's got to do is look at the bookies.
Right.
The bookies don't go on pundits or anything else other than results and performances. And if you're 41 to win at home against anybody, you're a bad team.
Right.
That's what he needs to look at.
Wow. Okay. Meanwhile, goal of the day, are we giving it to Ings?
Hope so.
Aston Villa against Newcastle.
Just because it's an overhead. It's a flying volley.
Oh, no.
Stevie. It's a great goal.
It's not over his head. It doesn't go over his head.
It's a great goal.
Is it the goal of the day? What goal was better?
Yes.
Well, since then, just say yes.
Well, but I know you're trying to be clever because it's an overhead kick. You say it's an overhead kick. So you come straight to me because you know I'll say it's not an overhead kick.
You need more sleep, man. You need your 12 hours. I don't like grumpy Stevie.
I know you
too. Or I'm just asking if it was the goal of the day. That was it.
What's happened to you, Stevie?
I was up early this morning.
Don, technically, how difficult is that to pull off?
That's hot. What did Stevie call it? A flying volley?
That's right.
Never, ever heard that in all my years. A flying volley?
Yes.
That is hard. That's a hard bit of skill he's pulling off there. You got to give him credit there, Stevie, surely.
Oh, yes, I did.
Did you?
Dan Ashton was in the goal of the day. And you sort of... Of course it was.
You know what Thomas is like? He gets things in his head and then he's...
I have no idea where we're going.
He tries to be clever and he goes after you.
I have no idea where we're going with this. Let's just check out, shall we, all the Premier League results from today. As we mentioned, of course, Liverpool with a 2-0 win. Ings flying volley was part of a 2-0 victory over Newcastle. Palace, can you imagine, 0-0 draw against Brentford. Pitch leads to Everton 2. As we mentioned, City with a 5-0 win against Norwich. In the late game, it finished Brighton 2, Watford 0. Meanwhile, Serie A, of course, are kicking off at this weekend. And I tell you what, despite all the doom and gloom around Inter, an impressive start to the defence of their title, beating Genoa by 4-0 elsewhere. So Sassuolo beat AS Verona by 3-2. Lazio with a 3-1 victory against Empoli. And it finished Atalanta 2, Torino 1. Well, for more on what happened in Italy this weekend, be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. Alessandro Del Piero will be joining us.
You're so excited, aren't you?
His thoughts. We will be, of course, getting him to break down that opening weekend. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg, letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, that's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Be sure to stay tuned, though. The boys, look at that. Exciting.
Can I give goal of the day to Bellingham?
Shut up. Right.
Good Bellingham.
Extra time is next.
Definitely.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali and Stevie here. We've got a hurricane on the way.
Oh, excellent.
That's coming in the next 24 excellent. Hours. That's very exciting for us all.
I wish I had bought that generator.
Why didn't you buy the generator?
Well, because it was about 3 weeks ago, and I thought, you know, maybe it's useful to have a generator. Didn't buy it then, now I don't have a generator.
Oh, excellent. Well, there you are.
Feel great.
Don is here as well. How are you, Don?
I'm all good. I mean, what's happened to Stevie? He's gone grumpy Stevie. Is that since he's lost his hair? He's like Samson, isn't he?
I've been a bit grumpy today.
I know, we've noticed.
Well, that's the only reason I can think. I was up early.
Yeah? Well, watching Liverpool.
Yeah.
Let's just take a look. I haven't got the questions, so I have to read them.
Oh, excellent. You've done so well with that,
hopefully,
lately.
There's a lot of emojis. What are you pointing at? What, they're here? There's lots of paper here.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, there you go.
Which project would be a bigger failure? PSG failing to win the Champions League even after signing Messi, or Pep failing to win the Champions League again after spending £100 million on Grealish and probably £120 million on Kane? Mm. Don?
PSG. Definitely has to be PSG. I mean, they've got all the superstars in the world. They've got all the Galacticos in the world. Surely they've got to win it. I think they're under more pressure than Pep.
Do you agree?
PSG.
Yes.
You have players, one-of-a-kind players. You have three of them. PSG is either win Champions League or is gigantic failure.
Stevie, is Harvey Elliott the answer to Wijnaldum's departure from Liverpool? Although not as strong defensively, a fast, exciting and young player seems to be exactly what Liverpool need.
Well, he's a completely different type of player to Wijnaldum. So, initially, I would say the answer is no. But at the same time, he looks like a player that you could play maybe in the front three. If something happens to Salah, maybe, on that side, you could put him there. Listen, you could probably play him on the other side as well. So, yeah, he's not a replacement for Wijnaldum at all, but certainly he's a prospect.
Dan the Orange Man is very popular on Extra Time.
Yes, and he's not me, by the way. People seem to think that that's me.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that I don't write.
Are actually sensible, though.
Oh, well, there we are.
Well, he features quite heavily.
That's because you said questions are sensible.
There you go.
All right.
Well done, you.
You prefer Dan the Orange Man than me, Steve.
Well.
Oh, big talk, of course, next week is who's going to win the UEFA Player of the Year?
Are you going to tell me or something?
Well, yes, I'm excited because it includes Jorginho, Kante or Kevin De Bruyne. Remember, this is for their performance in the Champions League and I think the European Championship as well, the UEFA umbrella of competitions. Mm. Who would you choose out of those three, Don?
Probably wouldn't choose any of the three. I'd probably still choose Lewandowski.
He was fourth in the voting.
Was he?
Yes.
Jorginho then, because probably what he's won and how he's played, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
N'Golo Kante.
Okay.
If those three are my options, I would go with N'Golo Kante.
That don't make sense.
Steve, are you all right?
I think it might have been the show.
Oh, yes, but we did it for a half-time segment a couple of days ago, yes.
Right. And number one, I said, same as Don Lewandowski, should have won it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I actually said De Bruyne out of the three of them.
Right.
But then again, it goes back to the rules. I mean, at the end of the day, the guy who's won most is Jorginho.
Right.
So I'm going to have to change.
How does Ali go for Kante?
I'm going to have to change to Jorginho.
How does Ali go for Kante? Let me
it's
just.
It's got to be Jorginho then.
Let me just answer this guy.
If it's a schoolboy pick, we're taking Kante.
Correct.
But it's not a schoolboy pick,
I know, but why is Don sitting back there saying, why is he picking Kante? Well, Kante makes Jorginho look good. Mm-hmm. Kante does all the running and Jorginho does all the passing. I'm just saying.
Well, did Kante win the Euros?
Oh. Yeah, but. Okay, I understand this.
He's after you, isn't he?
This is my choice. See, they asked
Steve, you're rubbing off on me.
And I gave an answer. I don't know why you're so angry, Don.
Steve, you're rubbing off on me. It's contagious.
Scottish day.
Here we go. Let's up the anger. Don, how many percent chance?
Oh, come on, man.
Mate, you have no idea how many we get of these a day when you're on.
Honestly.
That we get to see Mbappe and Haaland at Real Madrid next season.
Ooh.
Mm. Mbappe and Haaland, I would say 100% chance of Mbappe.
Wow.
Oh, here we go.
And I don't think Haaland goes there.
He's answered the question correctly again.
I think, well, zero then, because I think Haaland goes to Bayern Munich.
So you say 0%?
I've seen them both, yeah, at Real Madrid.
Okay. All right, there we go. Got there in the end.
But 100% Mbappe.
With Grealish scoring his first goal for Manchester City today, and what a goal it was.
Wow. That's my kind of goal there.
What were your most memorable first goals for your clubs? Oh, what was your first goal for Liverpool like, Stevie? Glasses,
ooh,
sky.
I think it was my second goal. That's not true.
I'm asking about...
Actually, I'll tell you. My first goal was at Queen's Park Rangers.
Yep.
I came on as a sub for Craig Johnston, who had been sent off the previous week.
Okay.
And right after half-time kicked off, he got booked. And I could hear Ronnie Moran turning around to the gaffer going, we need to take him off, he'll get sent off again.
Okay.
And about 20 minutes later, I scored down the left-hand side.
Oh.
Now,
talk us through the goal, Stevie.
Oh,
well, here we go.
I could tell you that I summed the situation up.
Yes.
Because it was an AstroTurf field, it bounced up nicely for me.
Yep.
Left peg.
Yes.
Laces.
Oh.
Smashed it into the bottom corner.
Yes.
Goalkeeper, no chance.
Halfway line?
No, the truth is, it was a decent shot. It was on target. The goalkeeper made an absolute mess of it.
Wow.
Could be. but it was a goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did you celebrate?
Well, the usual. One and a half.
Yes.
Usual.
Have a bit of that.
Have some of that.
Did you know, man, a little full circle story here. My first professional goal was against Stevie Nichols, New England Revolution.
Wow.
Ooh. Who was that? Who were you playing with?
It would have been Aiden Brown in goal in LA. LA Galaxy, New England Revolution.
Yeah. And how did you celebrate, Annie?
It wasn't that.
Oh, he fell over. He died.
My parents were at the stadium, so it was really a
celebratory dive.
Oh, nice.
A celebratory dive, no doubt.
Don, you've had many, many clubs. What's the most memorable goal? Your first goal for one of them.
I want to say it was my home debut for Liverpool. I don't know if Stevie played in the game, but we played Sheffield Wednesday at home in the driving rain and the pouring rain. And it was either a corner or a wide free kick. Got whipped into the box. And I was hanging outside the 18-yard box. It got headed out the 18-yard box. And I went for pure technique, Dan. I've got my hip over the ball. I've got everything over it. I've gone for pure technique. And I've shanked it straight into the floor. And it bounced over Chris Woods into the top end. And we won 1-0.
Yes.
A winning goal.
Oh,
so lucky. The luckiest goal you've ever seen.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't halfway, so there you go.
Ali, who is the best dribbler of all time? Crikey.
Wow. Diego Armando Maradona.
Mm.
Man, he is something. He was something. He really was. And then,
yeah.
It just,
Maradona. Absolutely.
Ali? I'm Ali. Don?
Please don't ever make that mistake again. Please.
You can't really look past Maradona and Messi, can you? But I'm going to throw one from left field.
Oh, dear.
Oh, here we go.
King Kladzi. Do you remember him? Man City?
Yes.
He was outrageous, man. He was one of these players where you knew exactly what he was going to do. He was a 5'6", left footer, jinky little dribbler with the ball. And every time you got near him, you knew what he was going to do. But he dropped the right shoulder, got on his left side, and he went away from you every single time. Not putting him in the Messi Maradona bracket,
right?
But you couldn't get the ball off him.
I'll throw a couple more names. Yeah. Ronaldinho.
Yes.
And just kind of not quite at that level, but a really fun player to watch, Ococha.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
You haven't mentioned Jimmy Johnston, Willie Henderson, or Eddie Gray.
Okay.
Well, I'll just give him some names.
All right.
Scottish classics. In Scotland in the 60s and the 70s, every team had a guy that would dribble past three and four players.
Oh, clearly.
Every team.
Wow.
And who are these guys again? Just run.
Jimmy Johnston.
Uh-huh.
Willie Henderson.
Okay. Yeah.
And
did you forget the last
Mercurial?
One?
Mercurial. No, the Mercurial.
Oh, Mercurial.
Eddie Gray played at Leeds. Okay. 70s.
All right. Don, could you have been a professional athlete in any other sport?
Ooh.
No, I don't think so, Dan. I wasn't quick. You laughed when I said I was a cross-country runner last time I was on the show. But I don't think I would have been elite. Nah, not really.
He's got a
levels.
Like, he's got a little swimmer's buddy type. Done though, so maybe volleyball.
My goodness,
yeah.
I don't want to see him.
See,
on
I wasn't
beach.
Quick enough to be a long jumper. Tall enough to be a high jumper.
Maybe rugby.
At school, you played rugby, yeah. You
went to rugby at school, yeah.
Yeah.
I went the school I went to. Actually, the head teachers brought me in when I think I was 15 at the time, because I was going to stop playing rugby, because when you get to a certain age. The football you're playing in.
Yep.
You start travelling basically. So he took me in the room and said, look, if you play rugby, you can get a good job through playing rugby. Because at the time it wasn't professional.
Okay.
Well, tell a lie. In New Zealand it was.
Oh.
But everywhere else in the world it wasn't. So they reckoned that because I was rubbish in school, if I played rugby, I would get a job because of the rugby.
Right.
Fortunately, I said, thanks very much for your input, but I'm playing football.
Wow.
Oh.
How'd that work out? Now you're here with us.
What's it?
I think you're going to have a nice job in New Zealand.
There's always a downside.
Have a nice job in New Zealand.
There's always a downside. I've got to answer questions
for you. You could have been thriving in Wellington. Thriving in Wellington.
What?
Oh, dear. Ali, what about you?
would have loved to have played baseball. I grew up in Venezuela,
right,
playing baseball.
Could you have, though?
I was pretty good, but I didn't quite have strong enough arm to play baseball.
Right.
And I'm left-handed, so in limited positions that you can play at on the field. And so usually a first baseman who usually is left-handed, it's usually a hitter for power. And I was more of a slapper hitter, more of a doubles, kind of a gap hitter. So didn't quite have the power, didn't quite have the arm. So the answer to your question is no, I could not have been one, but I was a good player, though.
What were you done?
Jockey.
Oh, imagine that. Oh, God.
Well, I can, yeah.
Don, final question. This has been a running joke at my expense.
Oh.
What is your favourite foreign food? Oxtail or jerk chicken rooster?
Oh, I seen that the other day, Dan. I watched it. I watched you mess up.
I couldn't see the emojis.
Well, there's a rooster or something, wasn't it? Was there a rooster involved?
Yes, it was. Yes. Well, that's
always
it.
Had a good chuckle over that. Shackle was well confused.
That is it. You sent me a message abusing me for that yesterday. A couple of days late.
I've got to see every opportunity I get to abuse you.
The thing is, he's reading this, and there's nothing in his brain that triggers and says, ox tail?
No.
Jerk chicken rooster? Maybe this is not correct.
But then you just sort of put the nail on it, didn't you?
Well,
nothing going through his head.
No, it's just,
See, without papers, he's nothing.
Nothing.
No, I mean, that's all he does.
Exactly.
There's nothing going on between there.
That's it. But I think that's sometimes
ox-ox-tail. Chicken, rooster, chicken, rooster, rooster. He's just a robot.
And I sat here and watched him doing it. It's like, he's joking, right?
Is he really doing this?
No, he's not joking. He's going for it.
That is it. That's it. I'm Ron Burgundy. That is it. Yes, we'll be back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be focusing on a bit of Real Madrid. Plus, Mr. Del Piero is with us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out electric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.